Now, this is a true story. I always tell true stories, by the way. I was at dinner last night with a family from the parish, and I allowed myself to be entrapped by a third grader. He asked me, he said, "Now, Father, my parents don't believe me, but isn't it true that Sunday starts Saturday evening?" And I said, "Well, yeah, that's true. You know, it starts sundown Saturday evening, and that's why, you know, the vigil mass on Saturday night counts for Sunday." And he turned to his mom and his dad and said, "I told you we could have candy Saturday night." Sorry, Mom and Dad. But you know, he made up for it later, because then I started quizzing him about Lent. I thought, "Oh, smarty pants knows so much. We'll see what he knows." And I said, "So when does Lent begin?" And he paused and he thought about it. And he said, "Palm Wednesday." Selective learning, I guess. The season of Lent that we're in now affords us many opportunities for prayer and reflection. Prayer and reflection on what it means to be a baptized Catholic, our own baptism. In fact, that's the very heart of the focus of Lent, is returning to our baptismal state. We do that through various means and methods. We do that through the great Lenten practices of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, of offering up and sacrificing something. But there are other ways in which we can contemplate what our baptism means. And a great way to do that is to reflect upon the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. That phrase, God's only Son, his only begotten one, that's the phrase that's repeated in the first reading and in the Gospel. In the first reading, we hear Abraham referring to Isaac as his only son. And then in the Gospel this morning, in the account of the Transfiguration, the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son," identifying the sacrifice of the Lamb. In the first reading, that is the clear symbol. Isaac becomes the sacrificial lamb. But being spared by God, they find a ram caught in a thicket, and they sacrifice it. Jesus, in the New Testament, becomes the Lamb of God. Another true story. I had the opportunity this past week to do a bit of traveling. I was in Washington, D.C. for a few days, and while I was there, I was connecting with a family that I knew, and they invited me to their parish. They're Eastern Rite Catholics, and so their liturgy is different enough to be different, similar enough to be similar to our Catholic liturgy, our Latin Rite liturgy. And so I went with them to Mass Monday evening, and I had planned on just, you know, being a good Catholic, standing in the back. Well, they didn't let me. They said, "Well, no, you're a priest, you have to vest and you have to concelebrate." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know what I'm doing." So, you know, and the other priest who was there just said, "Oh, well, do what I do." And I said, "Okay." And so they had me vest in the Eastern Rite liturgical apparel, and that was interesting. And I was noticing throughout the liturgy all the differences and things that caught my attention. You know, one of the things amongst many, well, there are a couple of things that caught my attention. They didn't have any pews. Everybody stood, which I thought was really interesting. And while I know I've made some changes this year at St. Paul's, I'm not taking the pews out. So I told them afterwards at the reception, I said, "My parishioners, I think, would riot if I tried to remove the pews." But one of the things I noticed was at communion time, I turned and I looked to kind of see what was going on at the altar, and there was steam coming out of the chalice. I thought, "Well, that's interesting." And when we went to receive communion, the priest warned me. He said, "Now be careful, it's hot." And I said, afterwards, when I was asking questions, I said, "Now, what was that about? Because I've never seen the blood of Christ be hot before? And he said, well, that's done for two reasons. He said, the steam that you can see coming off of the chalice, that's symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit transforming the wine into the blood of Christ. And he said to me, you know, when you think about it, blood is hot. It's 98.6 degrees. It's not cold. It's not tepid. It's hot. And that got me thinking about the sacrifice of Christ. The blood and water which flows from the side of Christ was hot. It was real. And the blood of the Lamb is what's sacrificed in the Old Testament. Blood belongs to God. That's why the shedding of innocent blood was such an affront and a sin that cried out to God. Blood is what belonged to Him. And it's through the blood of the Lamb that we are washed clean. That our baptismal garments, which are stained through sin, become pure again. We become a new creation through the blood that flows from Christ's wounded side. The end of today's gospel poses this dilemma. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. What does that mean? What's that all about? That, in a sense, is our dilemma this Lent. What does questioning what rising from the dead means for us as Christians? What does that look like? We who are baptized have already experienced that in Christ's death and resurrection in our own baptism. But what does that mean for us the rest of our lives? What does rising from the dead mean? It means that throughout the course of our life, we have to continually return to that state of grace, that state of baptismal purity, of innocence, of right relationship with God and with our brothers and sisters. Because if we have died with Him, we shall rise with Him. And you could, in a sense, encapsulate all of Lent in that phrase. We have died with Him, we shall rise with Him. Because that is where our Lenten journey leads us at Easter, to Christ's resurrection, to life. In our Lenten observances, our practices, whatever it is that we've taken on for Lent, hopefully they have as its focus rising from the dead. Christ's sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection. That's what it's about. My dear brothers and sisters, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. And indeed so it is. It is good that we are here in this time of Lent, in this parish community, on our way to Christ's resurrection. But to get there, we have to first contemplate His cross, His death, and then, in some weeks, on that Easter morning, we contemplate and behold His resurrected and glorified body. And when we do that, we no longer need to question what rising from the dead means. We've lived it, and we know it. And rising from the dead restores to us our baptismal grace.